When you were a stay-at-home mom,
yes,
did you ever feel like what you were doing wasn't important?
Especially coming out of ministry and then deciding to stay at home. And I did some stuff part-time, but I just felt like, am I really impacting the world for Jesus right now? I did have that thought.
Do you feel like a lot of moms feel that way, or even stay-at-home dads?
Yeah, I think so, because it feels so monotonous and mundane. It feels like, really, I've just cleaned up vomit, or I've changed 20 poopy diapers, and it feels like, is this kingdom work? Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com or on our Family Life app.
This is Family Life
Today. We've got Courtney Reisig with us today, and you wrote a book sort of about the, you call it Glory in the Ordinary, mm-hmm. why your work in the home matters to God. So we're really glad to have you here with us, Courtney.
Thanks for having me.
I just even like the title,
Glory I like it too.
in the Ordinary.
Yeah, I mean, you're an author, you're a Bible teacher, you work with Risen Motherhood, you've got four kids, married to a guy from Findlay, Ohio,
yep,
our hometown. So it sounds like you're not a stay-at-home mom that just, you know, does the ordinary thing.
Yeah.
You're doing a lot of different things, but you wrote a book about feeling that. In fact, you opened the book with a story about sitting beside a businesswoman on a plane, and she asked you what you do.
Yeah. Well, so when I wrote the book, I was primarily working the home. And so, and I still do, because I work from home. I always joke that my husband and I are like the prairie people, because he works from home too.
prairie
You know, like we're like the modern prairie people. So,
so
like,
you're saying you work from home before COVID?
Before COVID, yes.
Because everybody feels like they work from home. But you, you did before.
Yeah, I started my job as a motherhood in the middle of COVID. And so I just did like freelance writing and just writing books. And so I would start something and then I would pull back. And I had a lot of flexibility of like, if I don't want to write a book or write an article or do anything, I needed a break. My kids were younger. And so I didn't feel right. Like it wasn't didn't fit for our family, because before COVID, my husband traveled a lot. So right now we both work from home. So we are primarily in the home all the time. And
are your kids at home as well? Are they at school?
They're at school.
Okay.
So my youngest one only goes to preschool 2 days a week.
All right.
So, but when I wrote this book, I had just had my third son when I got the contract for this book. So I wrote it throughout his whole first year of life.
So you were
I was in it.
And your oldest are
twins. Twins. So I had 2 2-year-olds and I had a 3-week-old baby when I got that contract. And
now when you say I was in it, Ann's over here like, you two know what in
it's
it means.
It's a language we know. Yeah.
Every mom knows that.
Well,
yeah.
What is it?
Well, I had 3 children, 2 and under, so I was in diapers, 3 kids in diapers. I had 3 kids who were in car seats. There's no such thing as a triple stroller at the time that I knew of.
And there's no time to yourself.
None.
You're watching your kids 24 hours a day, making sure they're safe. They can't be alone. They're not really playing on their own that much yet.
No.
And so you have no time to yourself when you're in the bathroom. The kids are in the bathroom.
Right.
Where you can barely take a shower.
Right. And thankfully, my third son was a very easy baby. And slept through the night pretty quickly.
That's good.
That helped. I felt rested, as you can feel, with small children. What was so hard for me is when I had children, I wanted to stay home with them, but I've never been someone who is what I would call a good housewife. I always joke that my husband is a better housewife than me. And he'd be probably a really good homeschool dad. Like, he would just be a really good, he's just really good at those types of managing types of things. I mean, I would read books to my kids all day if I could, but I just don't, I don't like cleaning. I love cooking, so that's easier for me to get my mind around of like why that matters. But the cleaning and the organizing and I understood why children matter, like why taking care of your children mattered. Like that, I love them deeply.
When you say the ordinary, you're really talking about taking care of the home.
Right, the housework.
Yeah.
It just was just hard for me to wrap my mind around why it mattered. And the impetus behind the book was that my husband had transitioned out of thinking he would go into full-time vocational ministry and continued working as a businessman, and has continued all this time in doing it. And so we had to come to terms with, why does work in general matter? Like, why is work that's not just paid vocational ministry work? Why does other work matter to the Lord? So both of us were on this journey of figuring out, why does it matter? Why does it matter that you are a businessman? And how is that honoring to God? And how can you honor the Lord? And so we had to come to terms with, what does it mean to be an image bearer of God? And then because we're image bearers of God, we are also called to work. We see that in Genesis.
And so you're not even talking about just stay-at-home moms.
No,
you're talking
yeah.
about all of our work that
right.
seems so ordinary and yeah. how we can bring glory to
right.
it.
At
right.
the same time, though, as you get on that airplane and she
yes,
asks you what
yes.
you do, so, you know, what did it make you feel when you're trying to tell her, I stay at home?
Right. So I would often struggle with, because I had written a book already prior to that point.
Yeah,
so I
you
did
can
write.
Say, I'm an author.
I'm an author. Yeah.
yeah.
But then you also have to deal with, well, what kind of author are you? I'm a Christian author. And it's like, oh, do I want to talk about Jesus right now? I mean, honestly, everyone struggles with that, right? I mean, you're on an airplane and it's like, do I want to just put my earbuds in and watch a show?
Yeah.
Or do I want to talk about the gospel? And true confession, that's hard. And so for me, I always have to struggle with, there's no easy answer. I either say I'm in some form of Christian ministry, I write a book, or I stay home with my children primarily. But neither of those are respected by a woman in a business suit sitting next to me. Mm-hmm. And so I did struggle with it. How do I explain what I do all day? And then the woman looked
you see,
at me.
I write books about finding glory
in, the ordinary.
And she'd be like, what is that?
She'd love it, actually.
Yeah. I mean, and what I struggled with is she then came back to me and said, I couldn't do that. I would get bored all day. And I was like, well, I kind of get bored too. So, you know, like I kind of get a little bored sometimes. But it was a good reminder to me that the reason why we do work, I sometimes call this hidden work, the work that nobody sees, but the work that upholds the society. Mm. The reason why we do this hidden work is not because maybe we all aspire to it. Some people love it. Like some people love organizing and cleaning, and I'm so glad I'm friends with them. But we do this work because it brings glory to the Lord, and He created us as image bearers. And as image bearers of God, we are called to bring order out of chaos and to exercise dominion over the world that He has made. And so if you don't take the sheets off the bed after a kid throws up on them or pees the bed on them and wash them, then illness spreads throughout the house. I mean, you think prior to us learning what hygiene was in like the modern world, people routinely died from things that could have been prevented just because someone didn't clean it. Mm. And these things that we do every day are actually not only imaging God, but are sustaining life and caring for people. So when I make mac and cheese for my boys, when they ask me, will you make mac and cheese for lunch? And I'd rather do peanut butter and jelly because it's way easier. And they ask for that. I'm filling a hungry belly. I'm not only filling a hungry belly, so I'm the image bearer who's showing them what God is like and that God gives good things. And God gives us good things like mac and cheese. And because I like mac and cheese.
So. Who doesn't?
I know. I really sometimes wish I didn't like the mac and cheese. I'm like, I'll just eat mac and cheese with you. It's fine. But
and you take us back to Genesis 3.
Yes.
About
yes.
how God gives us work. Talk
right,
about that.
Right. Yeah. So in the garden, God created Adam and Eve, and then He gave them a job to do. He says God created male and female in His own image, in the image of God He created them, and then goes on to explain the creation mandate, which is go be fruitful, multiply, exercise dominion, and bring order out of chaos and fill the earth. Sometimes we see this only in the form of like marriage and like having children, which is a good explanation of that, but also God gave them jobs to do. And then you see throughout scripture elsewhere, when in creation, God created out of nothing. And we don't do that. We always are creating with raw materials that God created. But as His image bearers, as the ones who are telling a story what He is like, we take the things that of this world that He has created and then go make more things to bring glory to Him, but then also to love the world that He has made. And I love the story in, I think it's in Exodus where I don't know how to, Aholiab, and there's another guy, I can't say his name, starts with a B. And they are the ones who are creating the things to go in the tabernacle. Mm. And it says that the Lord gave them skill and then gave them like joy in the work.
It says He anointed them with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Yeah.
And with skill to create things that they were artisans.
Yeah.
Mm. So there's just so much in our work that brings glory and honor to Him. So whether you're in the home doing laundry or you're mowing the grass or you're cleaning out the refrigerator, the mold that grows in the refrigerator, you know, because again, people could get sick. You're loving other image bearers and or you're like my husband who works in the medical industry of selling operating room equipment, selling life-saving equipment so that people's lives can be sustained. This work brings glory and honor to the Lord and tells the world what he is like. And as Christians who are in whatever sphere that they find themselves in, it's good work. Mm. And even if it's hidden work. So my work looks a little different now that I work part-time. But most of my kids are in school and our life just looks so different. I'm not in the trenches with little children at home. It's weird now that I sometimes have the opposite effect now where I'm like, but I mostly stay home and I am deeply invested in my home and I deeply invested in my kids. And
Courtney, you are still in the trenches.
I'm thinking
of the age of your kids. I'm like,
yes.
Oh no, you, those are still hard years.
They are hard years. They just feel so less hard,
yeah.
You know, when they're like a herd. They move into new seasons together because
yeah.
They're all so close in age. But
well, I remember my mom was a stay-at-home mom, four of us, and she loved being at home.
Mm-hmm.
She loved cooking. She
mm-hmm.
loved cleaning. And she always had this attitude of, I get to do this.
Yes.
And
yes.
I remember thinking, are you kidding? This seems like it's doing nothing.
Mm.
And yet she would sing.
Mm.
She was so happy.
Mm-hmm.
And she would make dinner. And she'd say, come and help me. This is going to be so fun.
Mm.
And then I remember her teaching me how to clean and dust. And she goes, you're going to be the best little duster ever.
Oh,
she had
yeah.
me cleaning the bathroom when I was four.
And she's still amazing.
That's a good motivation for me to
yeah.
have my kids
well,
do that.
I mean, it was just her attitude.
Right,
like, look
right.
what we get to do today.
Right.
And it wasn't that I grew up in a Christian home, but her attitude
mm-hmm.
about work,
mm-hmm.
my dad had it too. Like, we get to do this.
Yes.
We get to learn how to work hard. And
mm-hmm.
now when you put a biblical context to that,
mm-hmm.
this brings glory to God.
Yes.
When our kids were little, with three boys growing up, our bathrooms, I'm just saying,
yes,
they were gross.
Yes, it's very gross.
It's gross. And I can remember cleaning around the toilet,
so
thinking,
gross.
This is the grossest thing
it's so gross.
Ever.
Yes.
And
or
yet,
the wall.
The wall,
oh.
yes, yes,
it's
the wall.
Awful.
Every time I clean the bathroom,
yes.
I'm like, I gotta get the wall and the floor. And yeah.
Yeah. And I remember as I'm cleaning and I have this bad attitude, like, this is just gross. And I can't wait for them to get older that they're going to be cleaning this. And then I had this thought, like, this is worship.
Mm.
Which is like, I remember having that thought, like, wait, where did that? That's not even true.
Mm.
And yet when we do it unto
uh-huh.
the Lord, our mundane acts can bring glory to him.
Right.
Because we can do it for him as
right.
an act of worship, especially when no one sees.
Right,
you
right.
You know, we're doing it for him. Like, Lord, this seems like monotonous
right.
and dumb and horrible.
Right.
And yet I'm doing it for you. And then it has a different meaning to it.
Right.
And I felt like he's cheering me, like, you go, girl.
Yes.
Like, look at you cleaning those
yes.
toilets.
Yes. And it does, and not everyone has different, like, standards of, like, cleanliness and, like, desires.
Right.
But my husband feels deeply loved when things are really clean.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So does this husband.
Yes.
Do you?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. He feels really loved, and he feels really, he can relax when it's clean.
Is that pressure?
No, because he likes to clean, too. So
oh,
sometimes
that's
he,
good.
So it's been a little bit of a process in our marriage of me being like, are you judging me right now that you're cleaning and I'm not? Or are you, he's like, no, I just like it. I just wanted to.
Yeah.
So it's been helpful. But he likes to clean. But it has helped me, especially when he would travel a lot, to think in terms of, he'll be able to rest when he comes home if it's clean.
Hmm.
I can live with a little bit more mess than he can, clutter than he can.
Yeah.
But it's funny, as we've been married long enough, we've started to morph into the same person. And so I've wanted more cleanliness than being married to him than I used to prefer. So,
you know, I know that one of my favorite passages in scripture, and it's just a simple passage, and I think it's so powerful to me because when I was, I came to Christ in college, I was a college athlete, football player, and the guy who led me to Christ, one of the first things he did when he discipled me is he said, let me give you a perspective on how you play football. And I remember thinking, and this guy wasn't an athlete, so I was like looking at Bill like, what do you, and he goes to Colossians 3:23.
Yes, yes.
Memorized it years ago. It's like, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord, not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive a reward. And I remember Bill teaching me what you do on a football field matters. From a glory standpoint, your title, Glory in the Ordinary, it's like, oh, no, it matters to people like sports and maybe this college, and it does pay for my education. No, no, no. He's saying to the Lord. And it wasn't how many touchdowns you throw or score. It was how you do what he's given you to do. And so it elevated, like, it got rid of the secular spiritual, you know, dichotomy. It was like everything's spiritual.
Right.
You know, and
yes.
so if you understand the Lord has given you gifts and he's put you in this role, do it for the Lord, right. not for men. You're not even playing for this university. I used to teach Detroit Lions, who are followers of Christ. You're not playing for an owner. Mm-hmm. You're not playing for the fans of Detroit. Mm-hmm. You're actually playing for the Lord. So whether you're watching film, mm-hmm. whether it's Monday and you're practicing, or it's Sunday and you're playing, because, yeah. you know, we elevate the game to, like, it's right. the most important. It's like, right. no, everything you do
right.
actually really, really matters. And when you have that perspective, whether yes. it's a stay-at-home mom, a plumber, a medical salesman, a teacher— you name it.
Right. Yes.
That
yes.
changes your perspective. It's right. like, oh, I do this unto the Lord.
Right.
And it's a gift from God to be able to work. Work's right. not a curse.
No, it's a blessing.
It's a blessing.
Right. I love what you say, Courtney. You say, everyone wants a revolution.
Right.
Nobody wants to do the dishes.
Right.
It's what you're saying, Dave. Like, you want the game day. Yes. It's the practice that feels mundane right. and ordinary.
And it's that faithfulness in the ordinary that is actually eventually leads to greatness, not maybe in the world's eyes. God's after our faithfulness, and he's after our obedience. And whether that's on like writing a book or yeah. disciplining my kids and having a hard conversation about an attitude or something, those things are honoring to him because people matter to him
yeah.
because they're created in his image. And so whether it's one person or 5,000 people, they all matter to him. And I love that. It makes me think of that, of the Eric Little quote where he says, yeah. when I run, I feel his pleasure.
Right.
I just finished reading his biography to my boys. Mm. We read biography. I read them a biography on Sunday. So we just go through like
That's
Christian
fun.
Biographies. Yeah. And whether he was on the mission field or whether he was on a track, he was,
yeah.
his heart was always to honor the Lord mm. and to be faithful to the Lord. And that's what I hope my boys learn. And that's what I want to model for them, is that my work is valuable. We were trying to instill that in them with cleaning now, where, because yeah. One of the things I talk about in the book too is that we're all contributors, that we are all contributors to the work of the home. And so whether or not you're 3 or you're almost 40, everyone has a job to do. So you're a part of this home and it's a member of this home. Sometimes you don't like it. And sometimes yeah. work just feels really boring and hard.
I remember writing in my journal one day, and I share this. I think I read this at the weekend to remember how it was just one of those days with 5 boys under 5, had an ear infection, somebody had a cold. It's just you're grinding it out and the day feels like it goes on for a million years. Mm-hmm. And I wrote in there, I'm so tired of the mundane days. Mm. And then a few days later, I was reading and all of a sudden I write this. CJ said, can we keep praying for Austin, who is only 3? Mm. And I said, what do you want to pray? He said, I just want to pray that he gets into heaven.
Aww.
Because we had explained the gospel.
Yeah,
we had
yeah.
explained the need for a savior and
yeah.
sin and separation. And he said, I just don't want Austin to be an old man and to die and not have Jesus in his life. So we need him to pray, Mom, so we can all get to heaven.
Aww.
And I just wrote in my journal that day, like, among the mundane comes the miraculous.
And yeah. when you can step back and get God's heart on it, that there's really glory in this. I got to tell you this story. I've never forgotten. A preacher preached this. A buddy of his was a contractor on his house. So they're building his house. And he said, he talked to his buddy, I think his name was Bob, and he said, dude, I'm sitting on your front slab, you know, and it's going terrible and things aren't showing up. And he goes, I'm literally having a pity party. I'm sitting on the front slab and I'm hating my job and guys are inside trying to get things done, but it's just a bad day and I'm not enjoying this and I'm really upset. And he goes, all of a sudden this pickup truck rolls right up in front of your house. You know, there's no yard yet. It's just dirt. And he goes, this loud music's playing, and this dude gets out of this pickup truck, and he's like, who is this guy? And he starts walking right toward him sitting on the front.
And he's super happy.
Yeah, he's happy. He's singing loud music. He had tattoos on his arm. And he goes, who is this guy? We don't expect anybody to show up and help us today. And he walks up, and he goes, hey, where's your Port-a-John? He goes, it's in the back. He goes, I'm the Port-a-John cleaner. I'll see you in a minute. He goes, okay, you know, and the guy goes back there and he goes, all the workers like watch this guy because he was full of his joy. And he goes in there and he goes, he's banging around and saying, boom, boom, boom. He's in there longer than anybody's ever done it. And he comes out and he looks at me and he goes, dude, whoever used to clean that porta potty did a really bad job. Let me tell you, I'm going to take care of you from now on. It's going to be perfect. And Bob said, I looked at him and I said, okay, sounds good. And he goes, he turned to go to his truck and he turned around and he goes, because I work for the Lord.
Oh,
and
that's
he gets
amazing.
In his truck and he says, as he blares away, he hears worship music blaring out of this truck. And Bob said, he told this preacher, he goes, dude, there I am sitting there, you know, complaining about my life because I'm a contractor and things aren't showing up. And there's a guy who's a Port-a-John cleaner who probably at his high school graduation did not think I'm going to be, you know, but there he is. And he saw glory in the, you talk about the ordinary.
That's very ordinary. Yeah. That's just gross.
Yeah, but and why do I tell that story? I've never forgotten that illustration. I'm like, oh man, I complain every day.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's diapers or
toilets.
It's like God has given us an opportunity.
Right.
It's right in front of us. It's very ordinary, maybe very hard. And he says, whatever you do, do your work for me, not for men. Mm-hmm. And I can bring something into the middle of your mess. Mm-hmm. So thanks for your book. It's a reminder. Mm-hmm. And I think something to challenge us all to say, what we do matters.
Exactly. Thanks for having me.
So the next time you're opening a box of mac and cheese or waiting in the carpool line or going through the mundane of keeping a family together, just keep in mind that what you're doing has an eternal purpose. God is using those moments to shape not only your life, but the lives of your children. There is glory in the ordinary. That's the name of Courtney Reisig's book. It's a book that we've got in our Family Life Today Resource Center. It helps remind us of the value of all that we do, that God is present in those moments. He's at work in all of life. You can get a copy of Courtney's book, order it from our website, go to familylifetoday.com and order there, or call if you'd like to order a copy. Our number is 1-800-FL-TODAY. Again, Courtney Reisig's book is called Glory in the Ordinary. You can order it online at familylifetoday.com or call to order at 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800, F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. You know, here at Family Life, there are the voices you hear every day, Dave and Ann Wilson. There are the people who work behind the scenes here at Family Life to make this daily program, this podcast available. And then there's a whole group of people who are ultimately responsible for all of us being able to listen to the conversation that Dave and Ann and Courtney had today. And that would be those of you who contribute to the ongoing work of this ministry, especially our legacy partners, those of you who give monthly to ensure that Family Life Today is able to continue in our mission. We are so grateful for all of you who, as listeners, have joined the team and are helping us reach more people more often because of your financial support, helping us effectively develop godly marriages and families. If you have never joined that team, if you've never made a donation to support the ongoing work of Family Life Today, and if God has used Family Life Today in your life in any kind of a significant way, can I challenge you to go online, make a donation, or call 1-800-FL-TODAY to donate? Be part of paying it forward. Help others with the same kind of help you've received. If you can do that this week, we'd love to send you a copy of a book by Trevin Wax, a book we talked about earlier. It's all about rethinking the idea of self. What's the foundation of our identity? And how can we live authentically before God? It's a great book for parents and teens to read through together. And it's our gift to you when you make a donation this week to support the ministry of Family Life Today. You can donate online at familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-FL-TODAY to donate. We look forward to hearing from you. Thanks in advance for partnering with us here in the ongoing work of Family Life Today. Now, tomorrow, we're going to hear from Dave Wilson about what it is that defines a man as a godly man, and how an understanding of that can reshape who he is as a husband and as a dad. The importance of looking vertical before we look anywhere else as men. Dave will talk about that tomorrow. Hope you can be with us for that. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life, a Crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.